closing verses of Mark chapter 13. Take ye heed, watch, and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or the morning. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. And just the Lord's help as we ponder these verses together. I wasn't here last Wednesday, and a few Wednesdays I must be able to make it, but good to be back with you, and we trust we'll have some help this evening as we consider this passage together. Now, as I've pondered these verses, it comprises a number of knowns and a number of unknown knowns, or known unknowns. Yeah, swapped off in my mind. So there are some knowns in the passage and some known unknowns. Things that define what we do know and things that define what we do not know. We'll see that the natural known in verse 28, the parable of the fig tree leads to a spiritual known, verse 29. Then there's a contrasting spiritual unknown that is pictured as a physical unknown in verse 35. Now, going through these verses, it's always a great encouragement to me as a believer to be reminded of the shalls of Scripture. I shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. It's a great verse we use in our gospel preaching. But every time you see the word shall in Scripture, you can take it as a promise. It's a promise from God that is unshakable. This is something that you can rely on. It's rock solid and reliable. And we have a lovely triplet of shalls presented to us in verses 29, 30, and 31, which we'll come to in a moment. Just as a way of trying to break down these verses together, here's a possible one for us. We have verses 28 to 31. We have the sign of the parable of the fig tree, the evidence that summer is coming. Verses 32 and 33, we have the hour of his coming is not known or hidden. And in verses 34 to 37, we have the warning, which is really built upon the previous verses, to watch and to be ready. So we'll just dive into these verses with some further detail. Verse 28, how do we know things? Well, we know things because we learn them. That's a bit obvious, but your knowledge is not transferred from parent to child in the womb. We have to learn it. Marvel when we look at the natural kingdom, and it seems as though birds fall out of trees and learn to fly instantly, and various animals just seem to know what they need to do, but that's not true for us. We have to learn things. We have a long period where we study and we gain our understanding. And so it is with spiritual things. We have to learn them. And of course, the godless world around us won't teach us very much, and the creation itself will only give us reflection of the divine. So where do we learn about spiritual things? I suggest that it's at the feet of the Saviour. And so that's why we're here, looking to the Lord for his help as we are together to learn about the things of God. Now the Lord Jesus points to a well-known natural visual aid that would be around them, the fig tree. He could have used a light on any deciduous tree, but the fig tree was very prominent in that area, as well-known as a picture of Israel. And the Lord Jesus calls his disciples to observe the fig tree. Now you get something of what he's suggesting here, as we'll look at these. It says, notice when her branch is tender and putteth forth leaves. So this is an observable thing. You can see the change in the tree. And notice what it says, when. When these things happen, you know that summer is near. So these natural observable signs lead to the certainty of events that are yet to come. Things that are yet future, you can say, well, summer is coming because the fig tree is blooming. So can man predict the future? Well, yes, he can, but only on the basis of what God has revealed. So we can know what the future holds. And of course, the scriptures give us lots of things about the future events. And there are certain things that we know will take place. So we have a when and we have a no in verse 28. And as we continue through this, it says in like manner, verse 29, remember he is answering the question that's posed to him in verse 4, which is when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? So here's the first of the three shalls in the section we have before us. So he's saying, when you shall see these things come to pass, showing that they will certainly happen. There's no need to speculate, there's no need to question, it is a certainty. So he's pointing to the fig tree to say, just as you see it starting to bloom, you know summer is coming. So the certainty of Christ's coming is nigh, or even at the doors, because of the signs of those things that have preceded it. And I have judged that those signs that were spoken of in verses 25 and those around are the signs that point to his coming. So we have the first shall in that verse. The next of the three shells is in verse 30. And this is to do with the period of time. It's as if to the answer of the question, when. This is the when question. And what we can get from this is that it's bounded by one generation. It doesn't specifically say what year, what calendar to use. All it says is that this generation shall not pass, never shall, till all these things be done. So we've been given that the signs must precede the coming, and we've given a time limit for the gap between the events and, sorry, the signs and the event. So just as the fig tree is budding, summer is near, when the signs are fulfilled, we know that Jesus is coming, even in that very generation. And the third of the shells, we have a precious verse of scripture, often quoted to present to us the eternal nature of the Word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The worlds and the heavens are temporary, will pass away. This is what the psalmist says in Psalm 102, verse 25 to 27. He says, of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, as a vesture. Shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. So the eternal nature of God and his word are contrasted with the temporary nature of the world and how the world sees things so very differently. They think the world has been around for nigh on forever. Now the Lord Jesus says, "My words shall not pass away." And that presents to us what we should be doing at every moment, to cling to what Christ has said. Cling to his words like you're clinging to a piece of wreckage from the Titanic if you're in the sea. You know, that's the thing that's going to keep you and keep you safe. His words are going to last, and those are the things that you can take to glory. Not much you can take from this earth into heaven. I was reminded that one of the things that parents can do is ensure, well, they can't ensure it, but they can take their children with them to heaven. But we as believers can take the word of God in our hearts. We certainly can know the assurance of his word prevails. Verse 32, having focused on what we can know, there's a little caveat in verses 32 and 33. Now, these verses may present something of a conundrum. Now, knowing a couple of riddles personally, it helps a little bit here to think about these things differently. How can Jesus, who is God, who is all-knowing, not know something? And some people do focus on this verse and say, well, this is an example of how Jesus can't be God. So what he's saying is, Jesus states the exact day and hour, which is what he said, but on that day and that hour knoweth no man. Not known by any man, nor any angel, neither the Son, only the Father. Now what we would reflect on, a couple of things in this verse, is that firstly, it was always the purpose of the Lord Jesus to draw attention not to himself, but to the Father. He was always pointing to his Father in heaven, that he was fulfilling his Father's purposes. John 6 verse 38 says, "I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." John 8 verse 29 says, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." He's pointing always to the Father. Now, these verses that I just quoted deal really with what Jesus does. However, in this context, he's not drawing attention to himself by saying that he knows these details. He's pointing to the Father only. So he's directing the thoughts of his hearers to not try and pester him for the details, but to leave it in the Father's hands. Secondly, I suggest that he is surrendering himself to the will of his Father to such an extent that the precise timings of those events is, as it were, from his mind. And you might say, well, how can that be true? Well, just as God can't forget anything, it is possible that he makes a conscious choice to remember something no more. Now, you might think that's a bit strange, but here's a verse from Scripture to remind our hearts and encourage us, we trust. Hebrews 10 verse 17 says, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." He doesn't forget things, but he chooses not to remember them. So perhaps this is another example of him surrendering himself to the will of his Father. Now, verse 33, so the remainder of these verses together really serve as a bit of a warning. And the fourth of the heeds in this chapter is about unpreparedness. And we have the word "watch" repeated four times in five verses. So we really have that sense of the warning. Watch out! Be ready. Nobody knows when the day or the hour, not even the Son of Man. So we have the "when" general is known, because we have that explained for us with the parable of the fig tree, but the "when" specific is not known. So the idea is, we watch. When the signs are seen, then you pray. Keep praying. Keep close to God. So watch for the signs. They will be noticeable. And pray. The Lord Jesus now uses a physical example in verses 34 presents his second coming like a man who left his house and his servants in charge until he returns. We notice that everybody had a job to do. So this is not an opportunity to say, well, we'll just sit back and wait for the Lord to come, because he must be coming. Everybody had their jobs, and there was a role for the porter, or the doorkeeper. And they were to watch and to wait for the master to return, perhaps so they might open the door. And of course, the Lord is the door. Now, in verse 35, the precise time of the coming is not known, so it could be any time, and therefore that watch is again repeated. But we do notice that the times are suggested here are there all around the night period. This is not coming in the middle of the day. We have an even, a midnight, the cock crowing, or in the morning. Now, we might say to ourselves that we are living in dark days, so there may be something of a spiritual aspect to this. But of course, at some point in the world, there is always nighttime. So when the Lord comes, we don't know, but the picture brought before us here is one certainly of the dark hours. Now, perhaps it's also picked up on in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2, where Paul says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Now, of course, that's the idea is that the thief doesn't broadcast his arrival and say, "I'm coming, I'm going to be around your house at 2:30 in the afternoon." He comes when it's dark, he comes when nobody's expecting him, and that is how the Lord also will come. Now, another pastime of the night is sleep. So we have that pictured for us in verse 36. The unprepared would be like the foolish virgins who didn't have enough oil for their lamps and had to go and buy more. So they're found sleeping, they're found unprepared. And when the master comes, it will be sudden, it will be unexpected, like a thief in the night. Luke 12, verse 39, brings out another aspect of this. And let's know that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken through. So we have there the exhortation there, the watchful will also be prepared and for the return of the Lord at any time. Now, the specific questions that the disciples have asked have now been answered. We might find it a bit cryptic, but really he has answered the questions. And his final comment really is to all the disciples, and therefore also to us. In verse 37, "What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." And of course, we are still watching. We are still waiting. And the Lord Jesus is still coming. I might well say, hallelujah, even so. Come, Lord Jesus. So we have these certainties that we can rest on. And as believers, they can be the bedrock for our faith, because we know that just as he went, as he said, he will come again. I'll open up that passage now for broader comments. I trust that we have a good time to get through those verses together.